Elder Neil Ash Maxwell, A Promise Fulfilled, July 6, 1926 through July 21, 2004. As a soldier under heavy enemy fire in World War II, young Neil Maxwell promised that if the Lord would preserve his life, he would dedicate that life to the Lord's service. The Lord spared his life. Young Neil kept his promise. Almost 60 years later, on July 21, 2004, the Lord released Elder Neil Ash Maxwell of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles from his mortal service after an 8-year battle with leukemia. He was 78. A lifetime of service. The death of this wonderful leader brings to a close a chapter in church history spanning over 30 years of faithful leadership, said President Gordon B. Hinckley. Elder Maxwell's lifetime of service to the church and his country reached across borders into the hearts and homes of people throughout the entire world. Elder Maxwell died on the 23rd anniversary of his 1981 call as an apostle. Prior to that call, he served 2 years as an assistant to the 12 and 5 years in the presidency of the 70. Elder Maxwell also served as a bishop, commissioner of church education, a member of the Young Men General Board, and as a regional representative. As long as our hearts pump, Elder Maxwell said, some of the time they should pulsate because we're reaching out to others. And as long as there is breath in our lungs, some of that breath should be used to bestow on others deserved commendation and needed encouragement. Quoted in Research Foundation Honors Elder Maxwell, Ensign, August 2002, page 77. Service in Seeming Obscurity. At his funeral held on the 27th of July in the Tabernacle on Temple Square, Elder Maxwell was also remembered for his service to his wife, Colleen, 4 children, 24 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. He was the son of Clarence H. and Emma Ash Maxwell. In a world filled with much laboring and striving in parliaments, congresses, agencies, and corporate offices, Elder Maxwell taught, God's extraordinary work is most often done by ordinary people in the seeming obscurity of a home and family. That My Family Should Partake, 1974, page 122. Elder Maxwell saw himself as one of those ordinary people striving to do an extraordinary work. He focused on his family. We knew my father had a heavy commitment to his ministry, his son Corey said in a funeral address. But we also knew he not only loved us, he loved to spend time with us. Elder Maxwell often expressed deep admiration for his wife of almost 54 years and her spiritual instincts. He called her a more complete Christian than he, referring to her high desire to serve and low need for recognition. A career in public service. With bachelor's and master's degree in political science, Elder Maxwell spent the beginning of his career in politics. He worked in Washington, D.C. as a legislative assistant and later taught political science at the University of Utah. At one time, he was encouraged to run for political office. But Elder Maxwell's early experiences taught him that the living of one protective principle of the gospel is better than 1,000 compensatory governmental programs, which programs are so often like straightening deck chairs on the Titanic. From Why Not Now, Ensign, November 1974, page 12. As an educator, Elder Maxwell won a place as a student favorite at the University of Utah. He became an assistant to the president, dean of students, and finally executive vice president. In his final conference address, he warned, "Do not expect the world's solutions to the world's problems to be very effective. Only the gospel is constantly relevant, and the substitute things won't work. Remember how merciful the Lord hath been." Liahona and Ensign, May 2004, page 45. Away with words. Elder Maxwell will be remembered in part for his ability to eloquently express himself. He discovered early his talent for turning a phrase, and during his 78 years he wrote some 30 books and countless talks. Under inspiration, he achieved a mastery of words that has moved millions. When he opened his mouth, we all listened, said President Hinckley in a funeral tribute. His genius was a product of diligence. He was a perfectionist, determined to extract from each phrase and sentence every drop of nourishment that could be produced. Each talk was a masterpiece, each book a work of art, worthy of repeated reading. I think we shall not see one like him again. Elder Maxwell cultivated his ability to express important ideas in insightful ways, but he taught that it is the Spirit who communicates truth to those who hear. The Spirit, he said, can help those to whom you testify to likewise catch hold of your words in a way that their minds and hearts will grasp them. Testifying of the Great and Glorious Atonement, Liahona, April 2002, page 12, Ensign, October 2001, page 15. A Living Sermon. Elder Maxwell's teaching did not begin or end with words. Deeds he taught, not words, and becoming, not describing, are dominant in true discipleship. Becoming a Disciple, Ensign, June 1996, page 14. His most eloquent sermon was the manner in which he lived. His was a sincere effort to become a true disciple of the Savior, regardless of the challenges faced. He believed that the only real veneration of Jesus is emulation of Him. Indeed, striving to become like Him is a special way of bearing and sharing our testimony of Him. From Even As I Am, 1982, page 2. Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles said that an example of living testimony was found in Elder Maxwell's life. His courage, his submissive attitude in accepting his affliction with cancer, and his stalwart continued service have ministered comfort to thousands and taught eternal principles to millions. His example shows that the Lord will not only consecrate our afflictions for our gain, but He will use them to bless the lives of countless others. Give thanks in all things, Liahona and Ensign, May 2003, page 98. Elder Maxwell loved the Lord and knew of His love for us, explaining, "We may turn from Him, but He is still there. We may feel that He is hidden from us because the cloud cover of our concerns, but He is still close to us. We, not He, let something come between us, but no lasting eclipse need ensue. Our disregard of Him is no match for His love of us. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth lived. He lives now. He guides His church." From All Hell Is Moved in 1977, Devotional Speeches of the Year, 1978, page 181. Another Kind of Battle. Elder Maxwell was first diagnosed with leukemia in 1996. Through aggressive but debilitating treatments, he was in and out of remission during the next 8 years. A few years before his initial diagnosis, Elder Maxwell taught that although we are happier when we keep the commandments, it is also true that faithfulness will bring special challenges. It seems God is always stretching those who meekly serve Him, but like Abraham, Peter, Amulek, and Jesus, each of us can overcome challenges to become a distinguished alumnus of life's school of affliction, graduating with honors. Quoted in Priesthood Brethren Asked to be Christ's Servants, Ensign, July 1993, page 75. Through his untiring ministry in the face of adversity, Elder Maxwell has indeed graduated with honors, and the tears at his passing were, as he said of other passings, not of despair, but of appreciation and anticipation. Because for disciples, the closing of a grave is but the closing of a door, which later will be flung open with rejoicing. From All Hell Is Moved, page 181. A Promise Fulfilled. In his final General Conference address in April 2004, Elder Maxwell observed that the Lord knows how many miles we have to go before we sleep. Liahona and Ensign, May 2004, page 45. Keeping the promise He made long ago in a foxhill, on a faraway hill, required many miles of Elder Maxwell, but each mile was numbered by the God he served until the day his mortal service was complete. Sidebar. Beloved colleague honored by his brethren. At his funeral, speakers offered the following tributes to Elder Neil A. Maxwell. President Gordon B. Hinckley. He has accomplished more in these past 8 years of his illness than most men do in a lifetime. He comforted, blessed, and encouraged his fellow sufferers. Their oppressive burdens were made lighter by this good Samaritan who bound up their wounds and brought the sunlight of hope into their lives. Like the Master whom he loved, he went about doing good. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. President Thomas S. Monson, first counselor in the first presidency. His service to the Lord's work has been exemplary and without flaw. If I were asked to summarize Neil's vast influence for good at home and abroad, I would choose the line, I served. Neil Maxwell served his country, his church, his family, his fellow men, his God. President James E. Faust, second counselor in the first presidency. He was a great apostle, an extraordinary human being, an exemplary son, husband, brother, father, and grandfather. He had a great mind to teach. He lived a great life to emulate and had great heart. The glory of God was manifested in him and in his accomplishments. President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. He endured with perfect patience the challenge of his last days. Both Neil and Colleen know for certain that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, that he accomplished the atonement, the resurrection of all mankind. End of sidebar. End of the article, Elder Neil Ash Maxwell, A Promise Fulfilled.